Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Namaste. I'm trying to remember to say that. Welcome in to the Lotus Space. It is Wednesday,
Namaste,
August 24th, 2016. Namaste, Featherlight. Greetings.
I love that music. I just cannot help but dance. I'm just
every
dancing
time
and moving.
That's the Kayla Seshi baby in D.C. What used to be Chocolate City, but now it's like Malcolm say, it gets a little weaker. It's what he say is, you add too much milk, or add a little milk and a little milk, and it becomes caramel instead of black coffee.
As soon as what it's turning to, the last time we were there, we saw, you know, the Europeans riding up and down the street on their bikes and, you know, looking all casual and cool. We're like, this looks so odd. You know, it's just, you know, it's not like, okay, it's not like I don't like to see white people walking up and down the street. But in those neighborhoods, it just seems so odd.
Like Harlem, you know, like Third Ward here in Houston. Speaking of which, wait a minute, I have to get into this story because you know how my mind runs, so I have to write these things down. Just so much goes on within this whole week of us coming together here at the Lotus Place to share our thoughts and expound on various social issues and just enjoy each other. So welcome in.
And become enlightened and rise to another vibration.
What? And rise to another vibration. I was trying to find my Marcus Garvey quote that I said I would read before starting the show or at the beginning of the show. And I kind of can remember it, but I need to find the exact quote, and I will. But I just want to say, in honor of Marcus Garvey, in honor of Black August, what did he say? I selected to laugh with the moon and laugh with the stars.
Oh, that one.
Right.
Yeah, I'll have to write that down.
Yes, it's such a beautiful, that is my quote for life. And
yeah.
I can't quite get that second verse, but it was something like, something with the birds of the forest and I'll find it hopefully before we end the show tonight. So let me give the number so that you can call in and celebrate Black August. And in particular with this show tonight, this Black August piece here at the Lotus Place tonight, we want to honor, and I think he should have a name. Well, we'll just say we want to honor Comrade Brother George Jackson. Another beautiful, intelligent brother.
Yeah.
And his brother. So,
very courageous.
Oh my God, his little brother was very courageous. Could
very,
you imagine some people doing that today in 2016?
No.
To go and take over the courthouse
and
tape a gun to a judge. I'm not saying people go do it. Just saying, can you believe it? Because this actually happened when Jonathan Jackson went to make some demands about his brother's freedom. And speaking of, free all political prisoners and free the land.
Free all of them, yes.
And Scotty, you have a recruit right here, an abolitionist. I am on the abolitionist team. I want to be with the rest of the abolitionists because we need freedom. Give me free liberty, libertad.
Yes.
Give it to us. No, not give it to me. We taking it. We demand it.
Yes.
I'm not asking for anything. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
I'm demanding, taking my freedom, owning my freedom.
Yes.
Owning my freedom because we're moving to a beautiful high vibration. So, for you to join in, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032.
Scotty, can I ask Scotty something, please? Scotty, is that you doing the opening? Is that you? It's more than doing poetry. The opening there, you know, that's not you.
I think that's a previous show. That's the abolitionist radio show that you're speaking of.
You're talking about that music? We were playing.
Like
we were playing some poetry from Muhammad Ali, but then we closed it out with Max Parthas, who is a host of New Abolitionist Radio, but a world renowned spoken word artist as well, and that's his track that you might have heard playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you.
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. It is meant as a compliment. I thought that for the past two times I've listened to it, so I decided I'd ask you this time. Okay.
Right. So, Scotty, while we have you on the line, do you mind just sharing with us for just a moment? I would love to know, how is the other project coming? Are you able to speak on that, to just give the Lotus Place listeners just a tidbit of an insight of what Black Talk Radio Network has in store?
Thank you. Black Talk Media Project, that's the name of our nonprofit, and it was through the Black Talk Media Project that the Black Talk Radio Network was created. So in the furtherance of our online work in providing safe digital spaces for Black people, we heard on this network, as well as among other Black people in social media, saying we need our own this. We've been saying that for a long time. Okay, we need this, we need that, we need to have our own this. Then they won't be doing us like that if we had our own. So this is a social media platform, BTR Community. You can find it at btrcommunity.com. It is coming along just fine. I had a bit of a scare last night as I was doing some upgrades, and I got like the website was just gone, but I was able to determine what caused that. And so it was just something minor. And so it's coming along just fine. It's not as much activity on it as I would like it to be. But again, we only been up for about a week. So I'm just going to remain patient there. But this is not a free community that's just open to anybody. There is a subscription, just $24 a year, or $5 a month, or $1 a week. You can pick that subscription. We want to use that to fund our other work, where we want to build media centers across the center, I mean across the nation, and have and offer the gift of Black Talk Radio in those particular neighborhoods, not just, you know, the national station, but to help develop local talk radio in those areas. So we always have wanted to have a physical presence. I've always been one not to borrow money. I don't like borrowing money. I don't like, you know, going to the banks and being subjected to somebody else's, you know, saying whether or not I'm deserving of getting this loan and what have you.
But I love that.
And then also, you know, we are a nonprofit. There are a number of grants that we could apply for. No guarantee that we would get them. But again, I don't want to become addicted to somebody else's money that they can then use to try to influence or control me. Because that happens to a lot of organizations. So, so if we can just get a small amount of Black people in comparison to the 40 million plus that's here, if we could just get 100,000 at $2 a month, you know, $24 a year, that would provide us with the real budget that we need in order to fulfill our vision to extend Black Talk Radio from not just being online, but to having a physical presence in these communities, to give these terrestrial radio stations owned by people who don't look like us, but are managed by people who look like us, who's pumping all this filth and garbage into our community. So that is what the BTR community is, a solution to a problem that many people pointed out. And it is a way for us to raise funds for the Black Talk Media Project to continue its media work. Thank you.
Wow. Scotty, I didn't know that it was Yes. Wait a minute. It's another round. Excellent.
Oh, hallelujah.
Who can buy into that?
Exactly.
Who cannot buy into that? Who can refuse that? It's so needed. It's so practical. It's so doable.
Exactly. Yes. And we should support each other. You can even purchase a subscription for a friend or a family member for Christmas. Since you Negroes love to spend your money on Christmas, that is something that people can do. You buy yourself one. You buy your
that
spouse
would be a
one.
Powerful
or your
gift.
Your maid or your niece.
Yes.
Buy a subscription for someone else. So
exactly.
I think that is something that, in fact, I know that is something that we should support. And for all you people that do not support this, and you just consistently allow people to make money off of you with no type of benefit, this is a
no return whatsoever
by a brother, and people need to support, because oh my God, don't even get me on to all of that, but we know what we need to do. We already
know.
Yes. So we'll keep reminding you, especially during the holidays, to push people to do that, to purchase. Don't forget, if you have not already done it, and it's an easy Christmas present. You can do it in your bed, right? You can shop in your bed.
Or you can just do it as a happy. You know,
exactly.
A happy is something that you give to somebody for no reason at all.
Just
and
because.
You do it because you care, and you do it because you know it will make them happy.
Happy.
It's called
a happy.
So you need no reason. You need no European holiday, special day to do something for somebody. Just do it. So it's up. I must have missed that email. I didn't know. So let me get on there and do my thing, Scotty. So, yes, I shall definitely be active because I love
I mean, you were one of the first person, Aja, that I for the light that I added, because you made a donation specifically designating it for this project. So you were one of the first ones that got a membership. So if you didn't get it in your email, do a search on BTR Community in your email. And if you need me to resend your login credentials, then just let me know.
Okay. All right.
So we can log on to BTR Community and sign up, and we can purchase the yearly subscription, which I think is the best deal, just to purchase
the yearly
subscription for $24. Yeah, so, and be done with
that's
it.
Less than lunch for two.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So BTR Community, right, Scotty?
Yes, btrcommunity.com will take you there.
All right. Hey.
Great. All I right. like the BTR. That sounds, it has a nice roll to it. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. And I like the idea of the media centers and developing like the local talk radio stations. I think that would be really great because, God, it's so many of these young people, they're into media and talking and sharing their opinions and having various dialogues on all these different worldly topics. And so giving them the opportunity to have their own, to learn how to have their own platform and to develop that, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a solution to a problem, a specific problem. In 1996, the Bill Clinton administration, working with Republicans, passed the 1996 Telecommunication Act, which then removed the minimum amount of stations that a corporation could own in any given market. So where before a big giant corporation like Clear Channel, CBS, ABC, they could only own like one or two stations in a market. But after the 1996 Telecommunications Act was passed into law, now they could own up to eight stations in one market. And that shut out the independent black radio station owner. He either had to sell out or he had to close his doors, and we lost a lot of independent black radio that way. And so this is a way for us to get it back using digital airways instead of the terrestrial airways. So it's just a solution to a problem I identified.
I remember when that happened. I remember just as clearly. I said, they're trying to ease out our voice, they're trying to shut us down. Shut down the communication. You know, communication is power.
You know, it seems like I recall the big effort to silence black radio was after all the organizing of the Gina Six. Organizing around Gina Six.
Yeah, Michael Baisden's gone. Like, they got rid of him.
Sure did. Quick.
Yes, he brought
a lot of people together just over the airwaves. They didn't like that.
Isn't it now Tom Joyner? I believe it's Tom Joyner, right? They're trying to push out or end his contract.
Well, Tom Joyner, all he does is confuse black folks and keep them entertained and laughing and not really talking about the important issues that we need to address. Yeah. Or he's like many of the other quote-unquote black elite who sheepdog for the Democrats, like he pushing Hillary Clinton now and what have you. Yeah. But he may get pushed out because he went into business with somebody who don't look like us and that person taking over.
Because they almost fired him last year.
His great buddy, some kind of way, swindled Tom Joyner out of his share.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is the same thing that they.
You lie in bed.
Artists like whoever they could do it to. You know, they couldn't do it to James Brown. James Brown said, you need to. And Ray Charles.
No.
Pay me my money up front.
Yeah.
Pay me my money. Give me my money. But these people always come in and swindle and do this oil shine slick snake grass scheme.
But when I saw Tom Joyner on TV, I said, he sold out. He's not being on TV for nothing.
He's not being on TV.
I'm so glad that I'm not the only person that felt like that, because I mean, I've really never liked Tom Joyner. I've never liked him. Period.
Everything is before.
God bless you for your cruise that you do and
yeah.
donations and whatnot. But
to
I've
the
never
HBCU
listened to his show. Oh yeah, all that is great. But personally, all of that shucking and jiving, and not, as Scotty mentioned, not really using his platform to speak on some real issues.
Mm-hmm.
Even if behind closed doors, you know, secretively, which, you know, I just don't hear it. And normally I do kind of hear about somebody doing a little something, something. But him, Anyway, I'm not getting ready to waste a lot of energy on him. Tom, Johnny, go on, do what you do. Man, it's messed up if you did let those people, like, really swindle you out of your share like that, which, you know, Obama's out the office and many people are getting ready to lose their little shucking jive job. So... anyway, it's almost time for Obama to leave public housing. Woo! Who's going to have next? Wait a minute. Let's see here.
What? Whoops.
See ya.
Nah.
See ya, because these people, they need to have another crazy one come in there and just clown them so these people can finally wake up. What's really going on. But anyway, is it time for a break? Oh no, I have a few minutes. Listen, I know people heard about the NAACP takeover by the White Lives Matter group. Here in Houston, Texas, of all places, in Third Ward, they set up a rally in front of a darn near defunct NAACP. I was like, don't nobody even see that building.
Is that still open?
It's just really a facade. So, you know, I was like, really? White Lives Matter? Okay. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And they were out there for like 3 hours. I started seeing all of these postings on Instagram and Twitter, and I said, here in Houston, of all places, this is ridiculous. And the police were standing there, like, facing the crowd across the street, not facing, trying to, like, tell these people to get off the sidewalk with all of that. That's just really being hateful. No, The police were like standing there kind of guarding them from what I could see, which I'm not surprised. So anyway, that was crazy to me. I really don't have a lot to say about that other than just to say it happened. And like I said, they were in front of an NAACP building that, as much as I can see, is defunct. Nothing's going on there. So I guess, you know, the statement being made is a charge on black people. Yeah, whatever. Like, we don't already know that. We're assaulted with that mess every day. So, yeah, okay. So anyway, but it's just good to know that you're starting your White Lives Matter group. So, you know, none of this post-racial crap that they were trying to push on us when Obama came in office and all this change gonna come crap and oh, my goodness. So anyway, yeah. That was our little event, kind of made national news, looking real silly, like I said, in front of the end of all places, the NAACP building. Okay. But this Nate Parker controversy. When we come back from break, I do want to talk just quickly on that, too, because I know, Satellite, you have something that you would like to share with us.
Yes, I'm going to share some historical fact about the original movie.
The original movie. Okay, so when we
come
back,
that people should be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Would put a little light on the whole controversy.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. So, listen, George Curry, who was a journalist and started Emerge magazine, he passed. I think he had like a heart attack.
Yeah, I used to listen to
George
him on
Curry.
The radio. Yeah, George Curry. He had a website. Very informative website. So he passed. So condolences to his family. Mm. George Curry, we lost another one. I tell you, boy, people leaving out of here.
They really are.
Just like
really
making the transition. He was 16.
Yeah, it's like they said, okay, I've done my part.
Yes.
I've done my part.
Yes, and they have. They have. It's not about longevity, per se. It's about what do you do in between the dash. That's
exactly.
The poem that I want to hear that poem. In the dash.
What in between the dash.
In between the dash.
Right.
Because you have your birth date and then you have your transition date. But what are you doing in between that dash?
The dash.
Yep. George Curry, he was only 69, which I mean that's not that old.
No.
He turned Emerge into a provocative must-read news magazine for black readers, and he was editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association. Wow. He died Saturday in Tuckahoma Park, Maryland.
Oh.
Heart attack. Longtime reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Chicago Tribune.
He became editor-in-chief of Emerge in 1989.
That's my graduation year, 89.
Hmm.
Yep. And Black Entertainment TV, BT, acquired a majority interest in the magazine in 1993. Yep. I used to like to hear him speak on various political issues.
Really?
Yeah, he was very astute in terms of politics of the day and relating it to history.
Yeah,
so,
he had evidently his column was very popular. It was in over 200 black newspapers. African American newspapers. So it was well liked
and will be missed. So rest in power, George Curry. We will take a break and we will be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
I am a child of the mafia. Check. Send me the first, let me give up. Another to Gabi. Another one for Annabelle and the African army. From Shaka Zulu to Nandi Maroon. To the Asian Revolution when them use the Badoon. And we can't forget Queen Azinga, Nana, Naya, Santua. March with the spirit of African warrior. And them a train and a beloved them stamina for nothing. Room them borders and barriers. Woman them a plan and a develop war strategy. So anytime it starts, it's gonna be tragedy. Africa, we know who know what's gonna be. Black love. black power, black supremacy. Boss up the bondage, slave panicale. Old time mountains are needed for holding Africa. For the African people, only complete separation is when God is holding. So let's say you're needed for holding. This is the black liberation. I'm needed for holding. No one can see you put up on your right hand. I'm needed for holding. For the African liberation. Habibi for holding, Habibi for holding, Habibi for holding. Hey yo, I rise like the Kepra, armed with my scepter from the temple of Dendera, fifth Sephiroth. That means destruction is imminent, compensating for the swing of the pendulum. From the compensation, I'm decapitating the reverence for blasphemy against the divine feminine. Comedic principles, yeah, my pioneers at the pinnacle, manifesting the physical. Time for the ethical moment is critical for the tactical liberation. And what are you gonna do? Are you gonna put up your arms? Are you gonna pick up your arms, get on your knees and read you a song?
All right, we are back here at the Lotus Place Radio Show. Welcome back. That was Habibi for Hoodie. You're going to put up your arms or you're going to pick up your arms? Oh, my goodness.
Father, hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Spectacular.
Spectacular. So, on August the 21st, 1791, that's when the brothers and sisters who were fed up said,
yep,
hey, we're getting ready to do something about this. In 1791, the Haitian
we're not
revolution.
Taking this anymore.
And we're getting ready to go back to Africa. Go back to Africa, Mama Africa. Oh, I need to. I should have been playing on my djembe right there. That would have sounded really, really good.
It sure would have. Nice sound check.
That's right. Let me see. Can I'll do that. But anyway, we came together in IAT, and commenced the Haitian Revolution, Haitian Revolution. Because we've been saying Haiti, but I heard this Haitian professor say that it's Haiti.
Really?
Yeah. And I've heard other Haitians say that as well. Haiti.
Oh, they do have
the Europeans,
different.
Dialect is different from a lot of the different dialects in Africa, parts of Africa and the Caribbean.
Right, you are so right.
Right. So
you know,
I've been taught to say Haiti. Like,
right.
I hate you, Haiti. You know, Haiti.
Yeah.
I never
thought about that. And, you know, they had trouble pronouncing different African countries. Of course, you know, it wasn't Africa, it was something else. They didn't have to name it Africa. And so their tongue cannot pronounce certain words. And we all this time, you know, we just, you know, thought that's what it was. Huh. Say it again.
I-A-T.
I-A-T. Right, because they didn't do the H.
I-A-T. I-A-T.
That's right. I-A-T. Okay, that makes sense. I can visualize it now because the H is silent.
Right.
The H is silent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you're, yeah, I-A-T.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't speak the H. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I-A-T. Okay.
Yes, so the Haitian Revolution.
Lesson learned.
Came together in, like in the forest, amongst the trees. You know how you love those trees. You were supposed to start that tree therapy practice with me yesterday.
I'm about ready.
Okay. But the Haitian Revolution was a successful anti-slavery and anti-colonial insurrection. It took place when the revolutionaries, the people that were tired of it, the people that wanted to not just, like my father says, put up their arms. They wanted to pick up their arms and reach back to that power and fight for their freedom.
Exactly.
Yes, very successful revolution.
Do you know, not only was it the first successful slave rebellion, but that this made them become the first black republic in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is one reason why America probably, another reason why they hate the Haitians. So it became the second nation in the world to win its independence from European rule. America was the first. So Haiti got right up there with America and said, we can do it too.
That's right.
Because they gained their independence from European rule. America had done it. They're like, hey, hey, hey. And Haiti was like, hey, hey, hey. You know. But you see how badly they've been treated.
Yes, yes. So,
but they did it. They did it.
Right. And the island was actually called Saint Dominique. And the revolution lasted from 1791 until 1804.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Impacted it. So let me see, 1791 to 2016, that's like 225 years.
What? So?
From 1791 to, what would that be? To 2016, 225 years ago?
Oh, you mean here, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going on the length of the war. Oh yeah, I don't calculate.
So there were, of course, different leaders. You had Bookman, you had Toussaint, you had Dessalines, and these were like the primary leaders that we hear about. But just imagine the ones that we don't hear about.
The ones that what?
Unsung heroes. The ones that we don't really hear about, other leaders. Because you know.
Yes.
You know they came together and there was so many. I mean, just imagine for years you're fighting for your freedom. These people
right.
are killing you, taking your land. Because
yes.
at one time, that island, St. Dominique, was like one of the richest colonies, one of the richest islands.
It was
because of the sugar production.
The richest.
The
yes,
richest, yes.
The richest. Yeah.
And so now it's supposed to be the poorest.
Right.
But I don't understand why we as African Americans, black people, whatever you want to call yourself, here don't fight harder for Haiti. I feel like we should fight harder for Haiti than we fight for Ethiopia
what they accomplished.
Where is the energy for Haiti that people have for South Africa fighting apartheid? I would love to see that movement come into place, because when I was in Miami, you know, Cubans, as long as you make it to Miami Shore and you have somebody there to meet you, bam, you're good to go.
Yes,
but if a Haitian hit that sand, they send, and I mean, I'm speaking of the beach, you roll up on South Beach or wherever, Key West, you go immediately to a detention center. And it is not right. It's not fair.
They're both seeking freedom.
Right. And so that's why I say people that are so against immigration, and I know people have their reasons, and the main reason that I hear is they're going to take all our jobs. Oh, my God. There are no jobs for anybody.
No.
You see that? No job. These young people graduating and still out of work. My niece, what did she major in? Something like forensic science?
Yes, forensic science.
She should be able to go to any government agency or anywhere.
some hospital or something, and in fact, not she could, should, and all of this. These institutions should have been beating her door down, begging her to come and work, because she was like a darn near A and B student.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she went to gifted schools.
Yeah, she was in gifted programs all her life. So, what is the point in young people spending all this money going into debt, and they still have to run around and beg for a job?
Go back home and live with mom and dad.
Beg for employment? No.
Yeah.
No. So, anyway. Back to, I digress. So, the Haitian, yes, you know how I am. If you've been listening to the Lover's Place, then you know. But the Haitian Revolution, I just wish, I would love to see us fight more for Haiti. Have more of an interest.
Yeah, yeah.
The Haitian, the people in IOT.
Yeah,
really.
You know. A thought just occurred to me, and I need to listen to that Marcus Garvey tape that you played, clip that you played last week. It had so much of a message, and I need to so many messages rather.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was that
I
need to make some notes. He was saying, black people, you think with the mind of the one who oppressed you. And that's what so many of us are doing. Mm-hmm. We have taken on the mindset of the Caucasian. I'm going to call them white. The Caucasian, the ruling class, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Haiti is concerned because they show a disdain for Haiti. They show, I don't see you for Haiti. It's like the elephant in the room. Haiti, God. Oh, okay, how many thousands are dying? Oh, I guess we got to do something to pretend. You know, so that's the attitude toward Haiti. And so a lot of black people are like, that shit is bad. You know, and so you get where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to know our own history so that we can know about our own people and that that's us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Instead of them.
Exactly. Exactly. We have to have more love for Haiti. George Jackson. Oh, my God. George Jackson. And we're going to get into some more hot topics, but I just want to touch quickly on Brother George Jackson, because I am going to read some of his one of his letters from Soledad Brother, maybe one or two, that he wrote to his mother. Soledad Brother is a compilation of his letters from prison. And George Jackson, oh my goodness, born September 23rd, 1941, and he was killed in prison on August 21st, 1971. Wow, I was just, 3 months old? Oh, my goodness. So we're honoring George Jackson tonight, and I will read one of his letters from Soledad Brother, the prison letters of Brother George Jackson, in remembrance of him and the Haitian Revolution tonight. But let me go to just quickly, and I know you had a hot topic you want to share. You have one that you want to share. I want to talk quickly, though, about this burkini ban. So France, speaking of France, they got, oh my goodness, France, still doing the same thing. We just finished speaking about France.
Yes.
And here we are, 2016. It comes right back around full circle to France. Funky France. Banning Muslim women from wearing bikinis on the beach because of all the terrorist attacks that have been happening in France. So they don't want the Muslim women wearing this beautiful, modest,
they are gorgeous, oh my
bathing suit.
It looks like a scuba outfit with a tunic.
Yeah, it does. Like that's what it looks pants. Like. Yeah.
So how does that look like terrorist gear?
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous because...
And it's not all gripping their bodies.
No.
You know, it's loose. It's... Oh.
Right.
It's
no,
so
they want them to come out on the beach and be naked.
Yes.
Because I think showing everything.
It's all this craziness. Oh, I fear you as a terrorist. Or, I just want to humiliate you. Like they were in France. You know, there were some schools in France about 3 years ago, I believe. There was a big story about how the young Muslim girls that have their hijabs and their burqas on in schools, like in the elementary schools, they were allowing the children and some of the instructors to forcibly remove those hijabs and burqas from the young Muslim girls.
Can you imagine
how much trauma that is for them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that all about? It's destruction and complete insensitivity to someone's religion, faith, or belief. And that's something that y'all say the pilgrims came over here for, whoever the hell they were, pilgrims. People that you let out from here and there and scraped off the street, but the so-called pilgrims came over here for religious freedom. So what is this whole deal about not respecting people, period? So goodness
France
gracious.
Has a very vicious nature. They have they have a different kind of attitude. You know, I don't know the date. I was trying to look it up right quick, but you know how they beheaded the African people and took a postage stamp standing in front of beheaded Africans, and this is a postage stamp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure it's not you know on right now, but this was a part of their history.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of their history.
Yep. So. Hey, Mother Hattie.
Hi there.
Hello,
Mother Hattie.
Hey.
Hey
there.
How are you?
How's it going?
Excellent. I was trying to get in there when you were talking about your family member that had a degree in forensic science.
Oh, yes.
I really think we need to deal with that, and I'm going to tell you why.
Uh-huh.
I think we ought to break some doors down for her through Women United because, see, they're murdering up all these people, and you're telling me you can never find a medical examiner or people that work in the medical examiner's office that look like us because there ain't none out there, but you're locking them out just like you lock out everybody else who are architects and all these other particular careers. So I think we got to deal with that one. I really do. We got to make some demands on that. Like, why can't this straight A or even if it's a B student, whatever, C student, find a job in their profession when they come out of there? All these places running around here with dead bodies? Please.
Exactly.
I think we need to make some motions on that one, really.
I'm glad that you said that because it's horrifying to me. I was in complete shock when I found out she was having difficulty finding a job.
Working in her field in forensic science. You got all kind of mortuaries. You got the medical examiner's office that somebody could take her under their tutelage to train as an assistant to start out with. And like you said, all of these government age, that is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But you want to be locked out on certain positions and places because they really don't want anybody that will really tell the tale of what's going on when it comes to some of this stuff. And so that's why that happens, and we know that. Anyway, that's what I was seething about over here.
Well, I'm so glad that you, too, noticed that like we did because it's like, this is insane. This young girl is when I say brilliant, beautiful, like, sweet, honest, I think she's still a virgin, and she's like 22. So this the type of young lady we're talking about, okay? Just a beautiful. I call her my mini me. That's just how beautiful she is. Look, yeah. I gotta toot my own horn. But she grew up with me calling her my little mini me. Excuse me, getting tongue tied because.
And what state is she in? What state is she in?
Now here come the kicker. Check this out, Virginia.
Ew.
She's right there in Langley, FBI, D.C. That's why I said, you mean to tell me they're not beating her door down? She went to, like, one of the best, Richmond University? That's, like, supposed to be one pretty good school in for that area. And then she was also highlighted in some type of program, project.
I think we gotta make some demands. Get her to my question is, where does she want to work at? And she needs to get exactly where she wants to work at right now, like real quick. And I think we could put together some letters and make that happen. I really, really believe that. We got to make some demands and tell them how ludicrous this is. And then, second of all, I think we're going to have to see. I'm not about all this yumbo jumbo. I'm about action. And then I think we got to take a look at where she's already applied and the letters that she got back and start there.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay.
Certainly can. We are going to start the movement for my little cousin, Bianca, Dallas, Nicole Spalding.
And I actually know another family member of mine as I talk about it, but I got to be careful with her because she may not have no oomph in her to want to do this, because she went to get a degree in law enforcement and has not found a job in her master's degree, law enforcement degree. And I'm saying, like, have you applied for the Secret Service, the FBI, and all those? Yeah. So I think we got to start making some rattling some cages behind this stuff because this really doesn't make any sense. Forensic science, law enforcement.
And there are no opportunities.
And you can't find.
It doesn't make any sense.
You could even get in as an investigator or something in some of these district attorney's offices or what have you. This just doesn't matter. This doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, thank you for letting me blow off steam because I was about to bust up with my head over.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what?
Tell the light, what do you think? Did we lose Featherlight? I think we may have lost you, Featherlight.
You're calling back. But your family member, Ray, they really need to put together just a group of letters where they've been turned down, who's turned them down. That's what I want to know. I would really like to do something on this one.
Right. Well,
we got to. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we can definitely write some letters, so we'll talk more about that. Let me see. Look, we'll keep it in Minnesota for just a quick second. I heard that Prince's home will become a museum, like about October 6th. So that's going to be after your Women United convention.
My Women United, but I hear you and I understand what you're saying, and maybe that's what it should become, but it's up for sale.
It's up for sale?
I learned that yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So up for sale from the bank. Not from a family member, because I asked that question. Up for sale from a family member? The family member selling it? But it's the bank that's selling it.
Are you serious?
That's what I was told. I have to research it.
Yeah, well, keep us abreast of that. Just find out any details. Definitely let us.
But either way it goes, we're going to tour the area. It's not blocked off in anything from my understanding it's still open because a lot of people went out there afterwards and they were putting flowers around and down, so it's not.
Okay. Well, let me see if Satellite is ready for her hot topic. Nate Parker. I don't know if people are familiar with the backstory. Satellite, you there? Hey, Satellite, is something going on with your phone? I think it is. Hang up and call back in, Satellite. Must be something going on with your phone. But Nate Parker is the director, writer and director of the new, what is it, the Birth of a Nation, similar to the Birth of a Nation, well, the name, Birth of a Nation, like the film that came out. What year was that that the KKK film came out? Okay, there you are, Satellite. What's the
name? Namaste, can you hear me?
Namaste, yes. Yes,
okay.
I don't know what was going on, but I know you want to speak on Nate Parker, the Nate Parker rape controversy. Could you just give us the background and give us your thoughts?
Okay.
Should we boycott?
Okay. This is some background on, like, the movie itself.
Okay.
I didn't really do a lot of background on the accusation of rape. I pretty much got the gist of it, you know. I didn't think that was important to get any minute details because, for one thing, I don't believe everything I read in the media these days. It depends on what's the motive. So I want to give my opinions regarding the controversy itself, okay?
Okay. Well, let me just give people a quick update of the story just in case people are not familiar with the story. Nate Parker is an actor, writer, director, and he secured a $17 million contract for the production. I believe it's Fox Searchlight. Offered $17 million, which, from my understanding, I think at the Cannes Festival he received quite a few offers to produce the film. So anyway, Nate Parker, if you remember, what is that? Great Debaters, and that's the first time I remember seeing him, right? And,
yeah, that was the first time I've seen him.
What else has he? From my understanding, I think he's been featured in like 17 or 18 different films, right? Something like that. So anyway,
he's
After
that, he became very popular. Yeah,
he did, but I just can't remember what else he played in because I just always remember the Great Debaters film with Denzel Washington. But he was enrolled at Penn State. Excuse me, Nate Parker and his roommate. Excuse me, the co-writer, who was his roommate at the time, they were students at Penn State, and this particular woman that Nate Parker had previously had a sexual encounter with came over to their home, I believe, and so, excuse me, Nate Parker had sex with her. And then, according to the transcript, motioned for his roommate to come in the room. And there was another guy there who witnessed this. So the other person came in and had sex with the woman. And so, of course, the next day, the next day, the woman, I guess she realized what happened. And I don't know how many days passed before she actually filed the report, but Nate Parker and his roommate were accused of rape. So Nate Parker was acquitted because he had previously had a sexual encounter with the woman, but the roommate was charged with rape.
So, the controversy is people are saying we should not support this movie, Birth of a Nation, which is a story about the Nat Turner Rebellion, which I think is very important. So, Featherlight, I'll let you take it from there. You want to share something about the film on Nat Turner?
Okay. Okay. And also about, Nat Turner. Okay, so, Birth of a Nation, that's the title of the movie that Nate Parker is producing. Okay. So I want to share an excerpt from a book that I have entitled 1001 Things Everyone Should Know About African Americans. Okay. And I'd also like to point out the original movie by this same title, Birth of a Nation, was written and produced by some of the most racist individuals in Hollywood and was the most inflammatory depiction of Africans I have yet to witness. Now, let me make it clear as to the real reason why I believe there is so much controversy surrounding the release of this movie and why Nate Parker is really being attacked, as well as why the white supremacists, as we like to call them, is so alarmed, not only by the depiction of an African.
We said we wouldn't use that term, white supremacist.
We should did. I keep hearing it, and people are not accepting my energy vampires. Okay, the energy vampires. Okay.
Oh
okay, so the history of the original movie by this title, the original movie, Birth of a Nation, was a film based on a novel and a play entitled originally The Klansman, an historical romance of the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, how can you put romance and Ku Klux Klan in the same sentence? I don't know, but that was the name of the play and original movie. Okay. And it was released in 1915 as a silent movie. Okay, so that's how long it was. That's how long ago it was.
Yes,
that this originally came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 1915.
Because it was
it was 2 hours long.
Well, it was the first.
It was the first 12 reel film in America.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was the first film that was shown inside of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Woodrow Wilson was the president at the time. He was a racist. He kicked out a civil rights leader out of his office because the civil rights Cotton or something like that. He demanded that Woodrow Wilson come up with the agreement that they had made with the blacks putting them in office. It's like, okay, you said you remember, you know, so he kicked them out. So this movie was so popular and so well loved, and it depicted the black man as stupid, unintelligent, sexually aggressive toward white women, and it portrayed the Ku Klux Klan as a heroic force. I mean, they were just like, yay! And so this movie, oh, and it also had white men dressed in blackface because they couldn't get anybody to act that stupid, a black person. So they dressed in white and blackface in this movie, okay? Mm-hmm. So the NAACP, they were trying to ban this movie, to censor this movie because of the way it depicted African Americans, this movie called The Birth of a Nation. And when this movie was released, it also became the recruiting tool for Ku Klux Klan. It held them in such a high light that they would show this movie to potential Ku Klux Klan members. Now, the United States Library of Congress deemed this film, The Birth of a Nation, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant, and selected it for the preservation in the National Film Registry. Ta-da! this very, very racist movie now. So here comes this black man out of nowhere, and he's going to do a movie honoring one of the most notorious rebellious enslaved African that they have ever seen, who led this group of people that went around just killing white people like crazy, called Nat Turner. And he's going to call his movie The Birth of the Nation, The Audacity. So can you see the irony of the whole thing? That's going to change the whole concept of quote unquote the birth of the nation to the new people, because the new people don't even, you know, they will think that this is really the birth of the nation. But their birth of the nation shows them ruling over black people, making black people look stupid, and wanting their white women, you know, just shuffling their feet, and as I said, they were portraying themselves as black people, you know, in blackface. So I myself want to see the film, okay? Being a rape victim myself numerous times, I sympathize with anyone who has been raped. So I am sympathizing with whatever claims that's made about that. I wasn't there. He got off. Black men getting off from, you know, being accused of raping a white woman, very rare. I will be there to see this, because I want to see our people portray our history rather than them portraying this is how y'all were. So, and then Nat Turner, many people don't like to talk about Nat Turner. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to read a little bit about some things that may not be shared in the movie, so that people could know. This was in the 1001 Things Everyone Should Know About African American History. Okay. Mostly free people in the North openly advocated violence as the best way for slaves to obtain their freedom. And in 1829, David Walker's appeal, which was a 76-page inflammatory pamphlet, called on slaves to rise and kill their masters. He said, remember, Americans, he was a self-taught dark-skinned tradesman. And he said, we must and shall be free, and enlightened as you are, will you wait until we shall, under God, obtain our liberty by the crushing arm of power? Will it not be dreadful for you? I speak, Americans, for your own good. And so shortly after that, after his appeal, the bloodiest slave vote in U.S. history occurred, and that was Nat Turner's Rebellion. And this was in Virginia. Okay, so Nat decided to keep his plan secret until like really close to when he was actually going to do it, and he was sort of different. They described him as a mystical slave. He could read and write, and he interpreted the eclipse of the moon as a sign from God that this is what he should do. So he went about doing it. And this is what happened. He led his band first to Nat Turner's master's house, slaughtered everyone, and about 60 of them. They caught most of them. Nat Turner got away. He hid away for a little while. Now, after they caught him, this is what one white newspaper comments on Nat Turner. He said, even a white newspaper could treat the subject of Nat Turner with cold sympathy. Nat seems very humble, willing to answer any questions, indeed quite communicative, and I am disposed to think tells the truth. See, he's kind of admitting he's half-heartedly. He doesn't want to admit it, but he's like, God, he's really intelligent. And, you know, I can understand everything he's saying. And I actually think he's telling the truth, you know. So this is how Nat Turner was. He said, I heard him speak more than an hour. He readily avowed his motive, confessed that he was the private instigator of the plot, that he alone opened his master's doors and struck his master the first blow with a hatchet. He clearly verified the accounts which have been given of him. He is a shrewd, intelligent fellow. Shrewd and intelligent. He had to say that. Now, listen to this last part here, and you see why this is so important that we know our history. The bodies of those executed, with one exception, were buried in a decent and becoming manner. That of Nat Turner was delivered to the doctors, who skinned it and made grease of the flesh. Mr. R. S. Barnham's father owned a money purse made of his hide. His skeleton was for many years in the possession of Dr. Massenburg, but has since been misplaced. That's the terror that Nat Turner's revolt had on the European slaveholders. He terrorized them. They have never felt so much terror since. And do you notice that many people don't talk about Nat Turner? They don't like to talk. That's like taboo. Even black people, ooh, Nat Turner. You know, you got to be a revolutionary. You know, he's never talked about in like, okay, black history. You know,
oh, like doing a black history report.
No,
the February report on Nat Turner. We're like, wait a minute now. Brother Brown, what are you saying about what she shared about Nat Turner? Brother Brown is on the line. What's up, Brother Brown?
Good evening. I'm sorry I'm late.
Hey, Brother
Brown. Good evening. I'm sorry I'm late, but she was right on point about Nat Turner. I come from Virginia, not too far from South Alameda County.
Oh.
And I used to work with one of Nat Turner's descendants.
Mm.
And
you, Brother Brown.
They've been trying to make a movie about Nat Turner for the last 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And every time somebody comes with enough money, the used to be mayor of that area up in Southampton County. The mayor of that city, I can't remember what it's not. It used to be called New Jerusalem. Okay, well, I forgot. I think it might be Surrey County. I mean, not Surrey County. It might be Surrey, Virginia. But they would never let one of his descendants was killed by Nat Turner. So they've been trying to make that move for years.
That's taboo. You don't. Mm-mm. No.
I want to see
they
it
never
because
will.
I want to see exactly what they are depicting in the movie. I just don't I don't agree with the name of the movie because, like your mother said, that movie was one of the most atrocious movies showing the depiction of African people that has ever been produced.
But it's the irony of it. When they think of the birth of the... I see where he's coming from with it. He's coming out of the box. Because now when people think of the birth of the nation, it doesn't immediately go to that. It's like, okay, which birth of the nation? You know, are we talking to? Because when this does come out, it's going to be powerful. I don't care what they leave out, what they distort. They have got to put some kind of truth in there, and the truth, all of it, is powerful. Like, I know they're not going to say their skin is body. That's
no, it's just like they have
know
a,
that.
They got two books out about Nat Turner. One of them was written by Dr. John Henry Clark. But they had another book that was written by a guy called William Styron. I read both of them. William Styron's book was fiction.
Hmm.
It was nothing but makeup stuff. All of those things that he made up about Nat Turner and this little white girl and all of that stuff, none of that is authentic. He wrote the first book about Nat Turner. So, like I said, it's a very high profile movie, even to go in Southampton County and make. Because they've been trying to stop anybody, regardless of how much money they had, coming to Southampton County.
And sharing the real story.
That puts some serious fear in some white folks.
That's right.
That really shook them up. That shook them up big time.
Yeah, they need to we are so simple in this.
Let me ask you this, Brother Brown, and you, Mother Head, Icy Hot. Would you still go and see the movie in reflection of many people have been protesting that we do not go see this movie, protesting against the movie. In fact, what is it, the American Film Institute was supposed to have a screening of Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation, but because so many people have been talking about this on Twitter, saying that we shouldn't spend our dollars on a rapist and speaking against supporting this film, would you still go and see it? And could you also share why do you think that people are saying this? It's not like this is the first film he's been a part of.
Well, I think I would definitely go. I would definitely go and see it. I want to see it at some point. It may not be on the opening night, but I would like to see it simply out of curiosity. And one thing I wanted to share is that I did my student teaching, and it was way back in, when was that, about 1973, in a little town with all white people in it. And in the book that I taught out of, they had Nat Turner in there, which I was very surprised, because I surprised. I went to a historically black college, and I'm thinking like, wow, they got in this history book, the social studies book about Nat Turner? And it was all white. It was a little German town. And I was kind of surprised. But they were teaching it back then as part of their curriculum. It wasn't an in-depth story, but it was a mention of him and, you know, how he had, you know, made that.
We had another black slave that led a slave revolt, too. He had Gabriel Prof.
Yep.
Yes. There were several slave revolts and
Gabriel Prof.
So, wait a minute, hold on, let's stay on the snap.
Okay, so you want me to give my opinion about that rape stuff?
Yes.
Now, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how do we know the young lady was not sent there to have sex with him to cause the controversy?
Well, we don't know what exactly.
But this
happened
when he was in college, before he became an actor.
Yes.
Okay.
1989.
Okay.
Penn State. And look, we know what was going on at Penn State. So they had a rape culture there. Not only did they have a rape culture there, they had a pedophilia ring and a pedophilia culture going on there with that Sandusky.
The coach there, please come on.
Oh, right. Penn State's so crazy. They even have a lot of paranormal events going on. They're all kind of crazy stuff because they've been raping those children. Yeah, look, I used to watch, what was that, paranormal sightings or whatever, something like that. But they were based in
Pennsylvania, and they were from Penn State, and they started
exploration.
It's the souls they've been yanking out of those poor babies, raping those children. So they had a rape culture there. So I'm not surprised that something like that happened. And I know, Southern Light, we spoke about this, and I know this just is a tiny bit off the topic, but it kind of is with the topic. Also, Southern Light and Brother Brown and Icy Hot, I would like to, and Scotty, I invite you, Scotty, and others, I would really like to have a discussion, like a town hall, like what we had here at Black Talk Radio Network on police brutality. I would like to have a discussion on when do we, and I'm not blaming the female or the male in this matter, when do we have to learn that we cannot overindulge in alcohol and drugs or either, whichever, and then you end up having these sexual encounters, and then you can't even remember too much what happened, and you're so drunk and out of it. And these things are happening. People are taking advantage of you. I want to look at what is the issue.
And then where are your friends?
Yeah, where are your friends? Because, you know, when we were going out, we just knew, like, if you look out for each other. You don't leave without your, who you came with. Stick together. Watch each other's drinks. So where is the disconnect coming? So it's something that I think that it starts before the whole rape scene comes on. Why are you drinking like that? I mean, what is it? What's going on deep inside where you indulge that way that you pass out and someone's able to take advantage of you? And I'm not just speaking in this particular instance. I'm talking about like this other white boy that got off, the Stanford boy that was raping the girl behind the garbage can.
Right,
and exactly. And so there was a really good article too that talked about all these white men here recently, white boys that and cops that have been given reduced sentences and just given probation when they've been convicted of rape, but the judge reduced their sentence. But don't let it be a black boy. Don't let it be a Mexican.
Right.
So, but anyway, we really need to take a quick break, guys. But Brother Brown, you were speaking. I want you to share your thoughts on, are you going? Would you go and see the film? And then I think Southern Light, you had a little something more to share as well.
Yeah, I would like to go see the film because, like I said, I know how long it took them to get into Southampton County and every effort in the past to make a movie of that magnitude has been destroyed by the white people that live in that area.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how, I don't know whether they let him film it in that area or not in Southampton County, but I do know that in the past, and I've been hoping that somebody will make it. You know, because we need to make films about our history, depicting our history, instead of waiting on white people to make films showing our history. So many times, you can't tell your story. Nobody can tell your story. No better than you.
Better than you. Exactly. And I totally agree with that.
All the time that we see depictions of most of the time of African history is somebody else telling our story.
Telling our story. We have to get our own grill. Yes, we do.
You know,
I mean, it's even like documentaries that you search for. You know, I love documentaries. Documentaries that you search for speaking on our history, there's always, it's not just a concentration of, let me just say, Africans.
Black Rose.
Right. Yes.
Since you brought up documentaries, let me please put this out there, and I'm actually going to be promoting this. But what's the lady's name? Avernay The one who what's her
name? DuVernay. Avery. I know who you're
talking about. Is it Avery DuVernay? But she's the director of Selma. And she did a documentary called The 13th. Now, y'all listeners of Black Talk Radio Network, now, when we talk about The 13th, what are we talking about?
The 13th? So,
the 13th Amendment?
There you go. That is what this documentary is about, to show how they did not end slavery, and they just transferred it. They transferred it to the prisons using the loophole in the 13th Amendment. Her documentary is the first documentary that's going to open up this New York Film Festival that has been going on for 30-something years. It's also going to debut on Netflix on October the 7th. It's going to be in the theaters and released on Netflix. I will get a Netflix membership just to watch that documentary. And then cancel it.
I know that's right. Oh my God. Oh, that's my Netflix pick already. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Ava DuVernay.
I wonder if I already saved that as a cue. I'll be going to my Netflix and see. Oh my God. Thanks for sharing that and reminding. You know what? I will definitely. I have to mark my calendar for that because you know I love to watch something like that. I'm logging into Netflix right now.
Me too.
But,
It comes out. It debuts in theaters and Netflix on October the 7th.
October 7th. I have it written down. Okay. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
It's not being advertised right now. So,
mm-hmm.
That's okay. We'll start tweeting about it, and then
I'll
have to start promoting
it. Yeah, I'm telling everybody. I mean, I'm not one to tell people to spend money with these corporations. But, heck, you might be able to get a free membership just for a trial period and just to watch this film. But when these films do come out, we have to support them, y'all. We really do. And, and so Netflix, I think, is what, $10? $10 a month. That's cheaper than if I went to the theater. So I'm definitely going to log into Netflix and watch this film. Because this is what we've been talking about on New Abolitionist Radio for the past 4 years. It's the 13th Amendment.
Wow.
Absolutely. Wow. I know that's right. Definitely tune in to that.
I can't wait.
The 13th Avery DuVernay. And I follow her on Twitter also.
Yeah.
So I'll have to go onto her page. And we'll have to post that on our Lovers Place Facebook page and tweet that out as well. Tweet for the 13th. Thanks, Scotty. And don't forget to sign up for BTRCommunity.com. Memberships vary from $1 a week to $24 a year, which I think that's the best package. Versus paying $1 a week, just put it on $24 and just buy a year's subscription. And this is what Scotty and Black Talk Media, the Black Talk Media Project, has put together for us.
It's a social and business network. All it is Facebook.
A social business network. Exactly.
It's Facebook. Yeah, it's just like Facebook.
So let's just put it out there. This is an alternative. We're always complaining about Facebook this and Facebook that, and not trying to boycott Facebook, whatever the shit is. Fascist book is what I call bullshit. Excuse my language. But fake book and all that crap. You know, we have complained so much about how we are censored on that platform. This is an intelligent platform produced by a brother, like they used to say back in the day, a brother, Scotty, and Black Talk Media, the Black Talk Media Project. So let's support this. $24 for a yearly subscription. You can purchase one for your spouse, your friend. That way, at least you'll have one other person to communicate with, along with the others in the community. So this is what we can definitely take advantage of, because a lot of people don't like Facebook anymore. It's so And then it's old.
We can have our own.
And they censor too much.
Media.
Exactly.
Without
media.
All of this. Yes.
Yeah,
censoring. You can't say that. Putting folks in jail and stuff because you're making known something.
Well, like
making something known to the public.
You get out the sandbox, kind of like what you just said. This all of this fascism and controlling my speech. No way. So anyway, let's take a break. And I want to talk really quickly about this story, about this young boy that was chased down by cops in the middle of the street. His video has gone viral. So we will talk about this. You may have heard about. I think this happened in New Jersey. Let me get the exact city for that, because I tell you, when I saw the baby, I said, you know what, this is crazy. This makes no sense. And then we'll also hear from George Jackson. Oh my goodness, rest in power, my brother. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio. We will be right back. Stay tuned. You can call in 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549-032. Press pound. That's 641-715-3660. 549-032. Press pound. And then press 561 if you want to share a comment.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
When we learn about slavery, there are many stories that get excluded. Stories of resistance and uprising. Most of us think that our ancestors were complacent about the conditions that they were in. The truth is, from the shores of Africa to the shores of the Americas, our ancestors fought. And today, we're going to look at one of the greatest fights, Haiti, and how they fought for freedom and gained their independence.
Most American school children learn to recite this little phrase. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
And one of the first islands scarred by his presence was called Hispaniola, today called the Dominican Republic and Haiti. The island was originally inhabited by the Carib and Arawak people. The Spanish was the first to conquer it and make it a Spanish colony. You know, I really don't like to dress up what actually happened. They killed, murdered, exterminated the natives and took their land as their own and brought enslaved Africans to work, all under the guise of being civilized and to make money.
We came from a distant land. Our life's already planned. We came in ships from across the sea. Never again home we'd see.
In the 17th century, France was given control of the western section of the island, and the colony was named Saint Domingue. This tiny island was producing 40% of Britain and France sugar imports and 60% of the world's coffee. This was the richest colony in the world. Those figures alone tells me that there was some serious exploitation of our ancestors.
Our masters saw the work. from morn till night. Never give a human right. Though years pass, things remain the same. Children born with no last name. What is to become of thee?
Many planters in the West Indies found it easier to work a slave to death in his or her prime working age than to be bothered with them in their useless old age. Therefore, the average lifespan of an enslaved African brought to this island was 7 years. Black lives were indispensable. And needless to say that the cruelty and the torture on this island was sadistic.
How are we to know what this land would bring? That our blood would flow because of the color of our skin being black.
Death is sweeter than continued life under tyranny.
No matter how much Europeans were pressed and oppressed, armed resistant movements and uprisings from my ancestors occurred all across the island. On August 14, 1791, an independent revolutionary struggle was prepared and led by Bookman Duty, who was brought to Saint-Domingue from Jamaica. Bookman Duty, along with other leaders of the runaways and maroon communities, met late on the night of August 14th in the forest of Bois Cayman to finalize the plan for the uprising. Bookman led a voodoo ceremony to invoke the names of the African gods to protect them from weapons of the enemy. With a sword in his hand, he reminded the freedom fighters of their suffrage under the hand of European colonialists. He ordered the leaders to come together to fight to the death for freedom. And on August 22nd, it went down. Enslaved Africans killed slave owners and set fire to this crop that they were being exploited for. Burned it up. On November 7th, Bookman Duty was captured and executed. His head was cut off and placed on a pole, displayed for all to see in order to instill fear and intimidation, hoping to stop the uprising. But it didn't work. It intensified the revolution. More than ever, freedom or death. Toussaint Louverture was captured by the French and sold into slavery to Haiti. At a young age, Toussaint's godfather, a free Negro, taught him how to read and write. His French slave master liked Toussaint. He respected his intelligence and his quick ability to learn. At the age of 33, Toussaint became a free man, purchasing his freedom from his slave master, a small plot of land, and 13 slaves. Yes. He became part of the same exploitative system of the European colonialist, mimicking the likeness of his oppressors over his own people. But Toussaint was what people consider successful. His wealth quickly expanded, and he gained contacts in the U.S., England, Spain. He married and had children. He purchased his children's freedom and was able to send them to a fine, decent school, military school in Paris. And Toussaint was able to continue to do what he loved, reading. And one book in particular changed Toussaint's life forever.
a book written by Ab Reynal, raised his consciousness, which showed the human rights violation of the slave population in Saint-Domingue. He could no longer turn a blind eye to the collective conditions of his race for the sake of his own personal gain. He could no longer turn a blind eye to the collective conditions of his race for the sake of his own personal gain. You get my point. At the age of 50, Toussaint dropped everything, his wealth, his fine home and property, and moved to the hills with his enslaved brothers and sisters and joined in the fight. At this point in the fight for liberation, the slave Maroons were disorganized. They were fighting for the freedom of individual Maroon clans, but Toussaint saw the bigger picture. Freedom for all. So he unifies all of these different Maroon communities into one large army. It was with this unified army that they were able to defeat the English, the Spanish, and the French. Understand that Toussaint could not have led this army alone. Amongst all of his noble warriors, there is one powerful leader that stands out. Jean Jacques Dessalines. Born an enslaved African, Dessalines was known for being a tactical and ruthless leader. Although he was illiterate, he became a greater soldier than Toussaint in terms of his fighting abilities. He did not hesitate to fight colonizers in the same manner that they fought Africans. Even Toussaint didn't always agree with Dessalines' tactics, but he grew up seeing how uncivilized the European colonialists were and understood being diplomatic with an undiplomatic enemy would not gain you independence. In 1801, Napoleon of France, deciding to make one more desperate attempt to retake this island, sent 60,000 troops to Haiti, led by Charles Leclerc.
France was assisted by massive help from England, the main imperial power, by the United States, by others. I mean, the idea that black people could gain freedom was really frightening to the West.
After 2 years of fighting, 20,000 soldiers in the African army crushed the French. Deciding that they couldn't win against this African army, tried a political tactic. They sent a message to Toussaint that they would give Africans their freedom if Toussaint would meet with them in person to negotiate. Toussaint's camp, along with Dessalines, told him, "Don't do it." Toussaint, being very diplomatic, decided to meet Leclerc at his base camp. Toussaint was taken into custody, shipped off to France, placed in a dungeon cell, exposed to the cold climate, eventually dying of pneumonia. But that was the wrong move by France, because an army that was once led by a more diplomatic leader was now taken over by Jean Jacques Dessalines. And he didn't trust colonizers one bit. Dessalines wanted total independence and showed no mercy in ridding European colonialists from the island. Dessalines took over and defeated the French for the second time. And on January 1st, 1804, after removing the remaining slave owners, officially proclaimed the country's independence, renaming it Haiti. Excuse me, Haiti. The name given to the island by the indigenous people. Haiti did not fight this enemy just for the blacks in that country. They fought and created an independent country for every black in the world, especially those who were being subjugated to the harsh treatment of Europeans.
Haiti is a very, 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 very important island in the Pan-African struggle.
Haiti brings pride to Africans who know history. In 1803, Haiti was the most democratic country in the world. It was the only country in the world that did not allow slavery on its borders. The only country in the world in 1803. Once you properly understand this history, because you know these capitalist pigs have such a way of making affairs, if we've never done anything as Africans, we don't know democracy. We don't know democracy. In 1803, Africans gave the freest world, the freest nation to the entire world. The only country in the world that did not allow slavery was Haiti. And not only did not allow it, but the only country in the world that put its natural resources towards fighting against any oppression was Haiti. Simon Bolivar, who liberated South America, anyone who knows the history knows it was Haiti that gave him the money, outfitted him with ships to start the struggle. And the Haitians demanded only one thing of Bolivar. When you free Venezuela, when you free Colombia, when you free Argentina, when you free Peru, free the slaves. The only condition of which they required of Simon Bolivar. This is history. You can't hide the truth, and if you know your history, you look for history, you will find it. You can imagine the threat that history imposed, that Haiti imposed upon America since 1803. There was nothing that American imperialism, one other thing I must tell you, from this period, 1803, Haiti fought every major European power, the Americans, the French.
Human. Black is just a continuation of the same thing we've been going through on the street.
George Jackson was born in Chicago in 1941, one of five children in a poor working class family. His mother, Georgia, was afraid of what the streets could do to him.
She wouldn't let him go out and play. She kept him up on the roof. You know, she wouldn't let him go out because she didn't want him to get in trouble.
I used to tell them that they were black, and in order to achieve, they'd have to be twice as good as white. I said, if you're twice as good as the white in school, then maybe you'll make something. Yes, that's what I used to tell them. It was the truth. So why hide it from us?
As a young boy at Catholic school, Jackson experienced racism. The playground was for white kids only. Growing up in the projects, he became involved in petty crime, fighting, stealing.
At age 15, his parents moved to L.A. and they settled in the Watts District, where he began to be involved in a little bit more serious crime, stealing a motorbike, breaking and entering. In 1958, he was convicted of a store burglary and sent to CYA, California Youth Authority Camp, for several months. He escaped, fled back to Chicago, was involved in a knifing, came back to California in chains.
Anyway, see, that's a primary example right there, in honor of Brother George Jackson, I must say, but primary example as to why we have to tell our stories. Oh, my God. Instead of just focusing on George Jackson, this documentary right here just goes into his piece about, right there, that part just goes into this whole piece about his criminal background and stuff. His intelligence.
Exactly.
Like, I tell you, let's get to the heroic. I'm very biased, but anyway, I want to read this piece. You can view the entire documentary of George Jackson on YouTube. YouTube needs to start sponsoring the Lotus Place Radio, because I'm always speaking of different documentaries that I found on YouTube. So Netflix and YouTube, we need to work out some type of contract. So, anyway, let me read this letter. So, Soledad Brother by George Jackson is a compilation of letters that he wrote from prison. And let me just read this one. Dear Mama, this was March 1963. Dear Mama, always good to hear from you, though it makes me sad to know that you're not well. Just hold on though, and circumstances will take a definite turn for the better. No ifs, ands about this. The way lies open for us. I'm not just talking or hoping. I know there is a better life for us. I know what there is to be had, and if all there is to be had, I plan to claim for us the lion's
share. You are right, of course, in what you contend. The black woman has, in the past few hundred years, been the only force holding us together and holding us up. She has absorbed the biggest part of the many shocks and strains of existence under a slave order. The men can think of nothing more effective than pimping, gambling, or petty theft. I've heard men brag about being pimps of black women and taking money from black women who are on relief. Things like this I find odious, disgusting. You are right. The black woman, you're right. The black men have proven themselves to be utterly detestable and repulsive in the past. Before I was succumbed to such subterfuge, I would scratch my living from the ground on hands and knees or die in a hail of bullets. My hat goes off to every one of you. You have my profoundest respect. I have surrendered all hope of happiness for myself in this life to the prospect of effecting some improvement in our circumstances as a whole. I have a plan. I will give, and I will give, and give, and give of myself until it proves I'm making or my end. The men of our group have developed, as a result of living under a ruthless system, a set of mannerisms that numb the soul. We have been made the floor mat of the world, but the world has yet to see what can be done by men of our nature, by men who have walked the path of disparity, of regression, of abortion, and yet to come out whole. There will be a special page in the book of life for the men who have crawled back from the grave. This page will tell of utter defeat, ruin, passivity, and subjection in one breath, and in the next, overwhelming victory and fulfillment. So take care of yourself and hold on. Love, George. Oh my God.
Wow.
I'm not even his mother, but honey, when I would read, I see how she was upset, because his mother did not want those letters to be published in the book, but George wanted them, and this young white guy was helping write the letters, and in one of his letters he requested that his father send a typewriter from ribbon to him so that he could type. My goodness. I was just like, his letters were just so, I definitely can see, because at first I was like, why didn't she want the letters to be published? But she said that they were like, they were special, that was between the two of them, and so, but
yeah,
so
it
that
was like
also,
they were connected.
Yeah, they were connected,
spiritual communication.
Connected, and
yeah,
their communication.
There was a special energy flow between just the two of them.
That's
wonderful, though.
So, exactly. But look, we need to wrap it up. I think that we should have a part two on this, because there were so many things. Oh my goodness, wait a minute before we close out. So this story about this young boy, and it reminded me so much of Cornbread, Earl and Me, which I just finally watched. I think I may have seen maybe just a glimpse of it when I was younger, but I actually sat down at my age now and watched this Cornbread, Earl and Me. And so Cornbread, Earl and Me, people may remember, so the young man was killed in this black film by police because of mistaken identity. So this young boy is playing basketball just like the character in Cornbread, Earl and Me. And I think Cornbread, Earl and Me was produced in 1971, 72, something like that. And so it was just crazy when I saw this story about this young boy that runs out into the street, and he's trying to catch his basketball, and then the police charge at him with guns drawn. And so the police were actually looking for this 20-year-old male with locks, and they said this, like, 10-year-old or 12-year-old fit the description. and then had the audacity to be very rude to the mother instead of them just saying, "Oh, ma'am, we're so sorry. You know, what can we do? You know, we'll sit here and, you know, we really apologize," and just some type of remorse, contrition, something. But they were like very dismissive, like, "Well, if you want to file a report, you know, file a report. Like, whatever. Yeah, we just traumatized your son." So the mother filmed her baby because he was crying because he was terrified. Just imagine, you just playing basketball. And then the police ran up on you with guns knowing that he could have been shot. And she said, what if he had tripped or coughed, fell, whatever, dropped the basketball,
lunged.
Anything. So, thank goodness that the little boy was able to stand it still. And I mean, my goodness, I just could not imagine. I couldn't imagine my child coming to me, telling me this is what just happened. So, the angels were watching over him, but it just goes to prove how trigger happy they are. Just like that story you shared last week, Featherlight, about the cops shooting the mannequin on the ground.
Right.
A discarded store mannequin.
Time.
Yes.
Why would he do that? Because the mannequin had been thrown away outside, leaning against the dumpster. You know, you just take the, you know, mannequin, you know, going in there. So someone had called the cops and said, "There's a suspicious looking person hanging around." And so the cops come, start shooting at the mannequin, because the mannequin doesn't move, but where the mannequin's hands are, they say, it looked like he might have something in his, I don't know what they can. Right, right. Well, yeah, a lot of mannequins, you know, do have hands in their pockets with their men. That's funny. But on a sadder note, let me tell you this one. One day last week, and you haven't heard it on the news, in Charlotte, North Carolina, a deaf man, was shot and killed.
Oh, I heard about
by law enforcement.
Yeah.
Haven't heard it anywhere.
Yes.
Except for by word of mouth, he's deaf. It was a traffic stop.
I did see that on Twitter, and so, yes, his family...
Oh, did you? You saw it on Twitter? Okay.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'm quite sure corporate media is not...
Major media ain't gonna talk
about it. I mentioned it earlier, ladies, on a course on Black Talk Radio. Y'all know I've been talking about it. I live right outside Charlotte. And it was a white man, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yes. And Scotty, real quick.
I didn't see what. I didn't see White Lives Matter hold a rally for him, though.
Exactly. Well, they should have. That's a shame.
That is. I'm trying to see. Newark. It was Newark. That's right. Newark, New Jersey. Cops drew the guns on this young boy. They were looking for a 20-year-old, and he is 10. This boy is 10 years of age. He was boo-hooing. Terrified. Just imagine. He's probably having nightmares. So everybody pray for this baby. Please pray for him.
What an experience.
Legend Preston. Pray for him. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Satellite. Thank you, Auntie Hot. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Collins. And we appreciate you. And we love
you.
Thank you. And good night and namaste. Oh, Satellite, you have a
namaste.
Good night. Namaste. Bless you next time. We're looking forward to it.